Baby dedications are extremely important. I really believe in them. I think that it's something that we rush through sometimes or try to do them all at once. I love to do them because I think of the things that are happening in the realm of the Spirit over that individual, the angels that are being released and the words that are being spoken and going before the child. And I think there's so much that happens that we can't see. I don't like to do them too often simply because the edge is lost. And I like to make them as special as possible. And so we see in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, the Revelator writes, "And there appeared a great wonder." Not a little wonder. What kind of a wonder? It's a great wonder. Something that makes you wonder. What is a wonder? Something that makes you wonder. Right? "Great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered." Now, in its fullness, it's speaking of Jesus coming through the nation of Israel, being birthed. But in actuality, it speaks of every child. Every child comes through the womb of the mother, and every child has this great red dragon that's about and has a plan to devour the child, which we read now in verse 3. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, and to devour the child." Now, what is the purpose of the dragon? To devour the child. We must understand that the enemy has a plan to devour our children. Unless we're privy to that, unless we understand that, we go about ignorantly, allowing our children to go into places that they shouldn't be, doing things they shouldn't do, because we put confidence in them, when in actuality, the devil is standing there ready to devour them, has a plan to devour them, and desires to devour them. We find that in this passage that she did bring forth this child, and this child was caught up into the heavens. The way you keep your child from being devoured of the devil is to get your child caught up into the things of God. You get your child caught up into the throne of God, and it will avoid the devouring of the enemy. That is a promise of God. I promise you, he cannot touch your child if your child is in the throne. The book of Colossians says that I am dead and my life is hid in Christ Jesus, who is also hid in God. So to get to me, he's got to get through God. He's got to get through Christ Jesus. So I understand that principle, and what we need to do is not make our children religious, but get them caught up into his throne where they can know where Father is, know Father, have a relationship with Father. It doesn't matter where they worship as long as they worship. And I want to talk about that before we climax today's service. It does matter where they go to church. It doesn't matter where they worship. I can worship him in my shower. Hello? I can worship him in my toilet. I can worship him anywhere. But it does matter where I go to church. Jesus didn't say, it doesn't matter what synagogue you go to. Did he say that? See, we've got this fictitious thing that we got in our minds that when we're ministering to people and evangelizing, well, you just need to go to church somewhere. No! I was sitting in a place this past week, and I'm already into my message. We're sitting in a place, I'm dedicating the baby. I know I'm dedicating the baby. I was sitting in a place this past week, and I was talking to this person about the church, our church. And they said, well, I'd like to go to that church. Well, I need to go to church somewhere. And I said, No. If you go to some churches, they'll just make you twice the son of hell they are. Now, I'm being very biblical here. I can show you in the scriptures what I'm talking about. And I've done this over the weeks. Okay, so I can't go back and bring all that in. But some churches will only make you children of hell. Now, I know I can't get into all that at the moment. I'll talk about it a little bit more in a minute. But what you've got to understand is it does matter where your child goes to church. It doesn't matter where they worship. Worship is not a place. Worship is not a hymnal. Worship is not an overhead. Worship is in the Spirit. That's something that's going on inside of you. And I'll talk about that in a minute. So, this woman, here in the book of Revelation, God, her child, caught up into the things of God, into the place of God, into the throne of God. And if you and I are successful with that, then our children will have an abundant life. The devil cannot destroy them. Now, he wants to. And you need to understand that. And so what we're doing today in our dedication service is we're doing our part of causing this young baby, this Emily Marie Wilson, we're doing our part to lift her to the Lord. The major part is going to be done by her mom. The major part is going to be done by her family. It's up to the mother. You see this? The mother is very, very vital here in getting the child caught up. Now, if you look with me in the book of Luke, chapter 2, show you the scripture that we base our dedications on. Every dedication service, I suppose, that I've ever done, I've read this passage. And it shows the importance of the scripture. It shows the importance of the dedication. Because if Jesus Christ Himself needed to be dedicated, then who are we not to dedicate our children? If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to come to the temple and be presented, then how much more then should our children be presented to the Lord? And so this is something I've basically worked into you, I've taught you, and I've showed you over the years. And there's something different about our children here. Our kids are different. They love to praise God. They love to come up here and sing and worship Him and praise Him. They love to pray for people. They'll argue with each other to get to pray for someone. They are very, very sincere and quite keen to the things of the Spirit. And I really believe it is the aspect and the attitude that we have taken here in this place to get our children dedicated to the Lord, presented to the Lord. And so it's very, very vital that we understand this. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 21, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Names are so vital in the scriptures. Names of our children, we think that we picked them out. But in actuality, what was happening, I've seen people have a name all picked out, but yet in that delivery room, that name will change because there is a name that will be attached to that person. And when you say, my name is Delbert, and if you see Delbert, if somebody says Delbert to you, you don't see D-E-L-B-E-R-T, you don't see those letters, what do you see? You see the person. And so when you see Jesus, you don't see J-E-S-U-S, what do you see? You see the Savior. You see Him and His fullness and His glory. And so names are important. And so we have this aspect that the Spirit of God, the angels of the Lord, are giving the children the names. So I think the names are very important in the Scriptures. And Emily Marie Wilson's name is very, very vital. So it's important that we understand that. And then in verse 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Very important that even Jesus Christ was presented to the Lord. Very important Jesus Christ was baptized. Very important, you see, that you do these things. Very important that we present our children to the Lord, that we get them caught up. We do all that we possibly can to get our children caught up to the Lord. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. I want to get a handle on that particular verse. I want to understand more. There was a sacrifice. There was a special offering that was given when the baby was dedicated, when Jesus was dedicated. The scriptures teach us in the scriptures that when we bring our children to be dedicated, that there should be a special offering or a special sacrifice or something that is presented to the Lord. A special little thing there. And that what they brought was a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now, names in scriptures are vitally important. Names in scriptures are vitally important. As I looked at this baby's name today, and would you be coming up? Would you bring the child up now? So that everybody can see. Emily. Marie Wilson. Diane, if you and Joe would like to come, it'd be fine. Do you want them to come? Babies are precious. They're so pure. And as I studied the scriptures, and as I looked to bring the Hebrew meanings of the word, of her name together, I found that I had to use two words, the word El and Ali. And as I looked at this, I found out that there were many, many, many important people in the scriptures who were characters in the Word of God who had these names, or at least an aspect of each one of these names in the scriptures. For example, there was Eliab, Eli, Elijah, Elisha. All of these mighty people in the scriptures had this name or this aspect of their names. And the name Eli actually means lofty. That's what the name really means in the Hebrew. It means lofty. Their thinking is a little different. They think higher. Their attitudes are a little different. Their attitudes are a little higher. And so the problem that you're going to sense with this baby is that she's going to want to go higher in life. She's going to want to be something else. She's going to want to ascend and go higher. She's going to be a lofty little girl. Name Marie, Mary, Miriam, those types of names speak of a person that is difficult sometimes to control. Think about it. Do you know a Mary? Do you know a Marie, a Miriam? They're a little tough sometimes to handle. And this baby is going to be like that. This baby will be a person that wants to ascend and wants to go on. She's going to require some guidance. She's going to require some discipline. She's going to require some things in her life to guide her and to lead her so that she can be caught up into the things of God. But God has a plan for her. Amen? I can show you in the scriptures that her days of her life are already written in a book. God has a perfect divine plan for this young baby. And it's our purpose as a church to provide the place for her to come and to do all that we can to provide a place for her to come, to learn of the Lord and to have a place where it is proper teaching, good doctrine, understanding of the things, where we can be examples to her. It is our responsibility to do that along with the parents. It is her responsibility to know Jesus. We can talk to her about Him. We can teach her about Him. We can have Sunday school classes. But until the child knows Him, until the child knows the Lord, knows the Master, until she has a relationship with Him, it's all theory. Men? It's all theology. Until something happens in her spirit that changes her life, until something really takes place inside of her that brings her into that throne relationship with Him, it's nothing but theory. It's nothing but teaching. It's nothing but doctrine. And our purpose is to provide the place, to provide everything that she'll need. A place to praise, a place to give, a place to understand and to gain this. But she must come to the place of relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what we want to do now is we want to bless her. We want to lift her to the Lord. We want to pray over her life. We want to pray for the parents. We want to pray for the grandparents. We want to make sure that this baby has all the covering that we can provide for her. So if the elders would be coming. Oh yeah, we have a dance, don't we? Why don't we pray for her, and then we'll enjoy the dance together. Would that be fine? Good? Elders be coming. I know that she had a dance. I didn't at that moment remember, but I did know that. And you can be getting in position, boo. Babies are lovely, are they not? They're so pure. They're so sincere. They are trained. the way we train them. It's like a tree. You take a tree, and there's a time in that life of that tree where you can train that tree. You can trim it. You can bend its limbs. You can adjust it to be just exactly what you desire for that tree to be. But then there comes a time in that life of that tree where you can no longer bend the limbs. You can no longer train the tree. There comes a time in the life of that tree where it no longer responds to training and to trimming. Now it has its own will. So the babies right now, as we present them to the Lord, are at a time where they can be trained and they can be trimmed and they can be disciplined. And that word discipline simply means that. And the Bible does say if you train up a child in the way he should go, what happens? He just won't depart from the things of the Lord. Proper training, proper trimming ensures that the child will not depart from the things of God. Stay in that throne. Amen? Elder's wife, where are you? Come on up. Amen. You're a pretty baby. You got the prettiest blue eyes. We're just going to pray for you, okay? I like your flower. Amen. Amen. Pretty baby. Amen. We're anointed with oil. Reach your hand in here somewhere and just touch her. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we bless her. We bless this little baby, Lord, Emily Marie Wilson. And Lord, we lift her and we present her to you right now in the way of the Spirit. Lord, we allow you to do your will and to do your work. Father God, we ask you now to dispatch your angels that will guard her, watch over her. She will have guardian angels, Lord God, that will take care of her. Father God, that she'll be properly trained. Lord, as she desires to ascend, that she'll ascend into the things of the Spirit. As she desires to loft up, Lord God, that she'll be lofty in the things of God. Lord God, as she desires to rebel, Lord God, as those things start coming, that, Lord God, she'll rebel against the things of the world and the things of Satan. Father God, she'll be privy, Lord God, to the things of God. And we bless her, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Let me take her and lift her now. Now, Lord God, we take her, we present her to you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen, amen, amen. Let's take our positions. And let's make a declaration. Parents, first of all, ask you this. Will you raise the child in the way she should go? Will you discipline the child and train the child in godly and scriptural ways? Will you keep the child in the house of the Lord always? Will you do everything in your ability to protect the child from the devourer? If so, say, we will. We will. Church, now it's our turn. We also have a part in the life of every child that comes here, every person that comes here. We have a part to play in that life. We're a part of that body. We're a part of that individual. We are bone of bone and flesh of flesh. We are joined together in the realm of the Spirit. So, will we provide a place for the child to worship and to be trained in the things of God? Will we pray for this family and for this child? Will we be a friend to this family, loving them when things are good and when things are not good? If so, say, we will. We will. Amen. God bless you.
rotted up in a jar. He made them, loves them, so wondrously one. And so you are chosen and called out for prayer. So come to the cradle, he waits for you.
God is good all the time. What we need to tell people, don't we? I love Jesus. He's more than a theory in my life. He saved me. Not only to go to heaven one day, he's given me such a wonderful life right now. When does eternity begin? Think about it. Jesus isn't interested in your past. He cast all of that into the depths of the sea. Never to be remembered, he says. What is he interested in? Your future, today. Eternity begins today. Woman caught in adultery. Very act. Turn there, Acts chapter 8. John chapter 8. He's so cool. Lance said something about that a while ago. He's not the sad, somber, angry king. He's a loving, gentle God who hates things that puts us in bondage. He wants his people to be free. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you know who he said that to, by the way? Talk to me. Are you here today? Need to understand that when he said that to religious Jews. Main thing that people need to be free from is a religion that binds them up. In the 8th chapter of the book of John, we find Jesus at a feast. He was very faithful to the feast of Israel. You read in the 7th chapter that this was the Feast of Tabernacles, and he had come to this feast. And it was in the midst of this feast that he went out and he proclaimed, and he said, if you believe in me, as the Scripture has said, then out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. In the 38th verse of the 7th chapter, he says that. He tells us how to believe. He says the way you believe is as the Scripture says. If you believe in me as the Scripture has said, then out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And he spake of the Spirit. The way to know the Spirit, the way to have the Spirit flowing in our lives is to believe in him. Not with a doctrine of man, not with a theory of Sunday school, but to believe in Him, as the Scriptures say. One thing that I am very, very keen to is doing things as the Scriptures say. That's why we receive the offering the way we receive the offering, and we try to see something in the Scriptures. We try to apply it, make it applicable here. We want to do things as the Scriptures say. It's very, very important to me because I don't think that we can have a true experience with the Spirit of God until we do. And then in this eighth chapter that you should be at, during this feast, he got up early in the morning and he came and he was in the treasury teaching. And these Pharisees come dragging in this woman caught in the very act of adultery. And he's just there teaching. And they come interrupting the service and everything. And they say, let me ask you a question. They said, Moses said in the law that she's supposed to be stoned. What do you say? And the Bible says that they did this testing him, seeing what he'd do. Well, if he stoned a woman, then he looks bad. If he disagrees with what Moses said, he looks bad. He's so cool. You know what he does? He just squats down. Starts scribbling in the dirt. And they kept on at him. They just kept on. They wouldn't leave it alone. They continued, the Bible says. And so then the Bible says this, and it's such a beautiful way. It says, and he lifting himself. Now, I don't know how you see Jesus. I don't see him with a bird on his shoulder. I don't see this little wimpy guy with him.
You even that thin cat the first time.
I don't see that. I see when he says, when he lifted himself. You that is without sin, cast the first stone. And then you squat it back down. Now, you hear all these sermons that, you know, what changed their hearts was what he was scribbling in the dirt and all that stuff. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that when they heard this, not what he wrote, not when they saw that, what he wrote, when they heard this, they left. From the oldest to the youngest, or from the greatest to the least. And they left. And Jesus is still squatted and scribbling, and he looks up and they're gone. And so he looks at the woman and he says, where are your accusers? And she says, Lord, there are none. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And then, as soon as that's done, he turns and he faces these Pharisees and that merciful person who has just loved this woman attacks this Pharisaical system. And one of the best discourses I've studied in a long time. I am the light of the world. Understand it just a little bit. This is the Feast of Tabernacles, and what the Pharisees would do is they would have a procession. They would take their old garments and they would hang them on these big pillars and posts all around in this area, and they would dip them in oil and they would hang them up there, and then they would march in their procession with their little torches, proclaiming themselves to be the light of the world. And they would go and they would light these symbolic torches, which typified or symbolized the cloud in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud by day that came the pillar of fire by night. And this is what's going on in this feast. And while this is going on, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And he says this to the Pharisees. Now they're saying by their symbolisms that they're the light of the world. Pharisees always do think they've always got the answer. They've always got the understanding. They're the ones that are always right. Right? They're the light of the world. Jesus says, no, I'm the light of the world. And they don't like that. So they say, now listen, who are you ordained by? That's what they say. They say there. Who gives you witness? Your witness is false. Now see, they came to John the Baptist and they wanted to witness on Jesus. Because John baptized Jesus. And evidently, the way I best understand the scriptures right now is that when an ordination took place, when one ministry ordained another ministry, it was an act of baptism. And we're baptized into Jesus, so we're baptized into ministry. Do you understand that? We're ordained into His ministry. And so Jesus was baptized under John's ministry so that all righteousness could be fulfilled. All of a sudden, things start making sense when you allow the Spirit of God to... I always wondered about that. That just came. That was just right then. I guess that's what he meant there. All righteousness was fulfilled. So now he's ordained. And so John's dead now. Now who gives you witness? Who's witnessing now for your ministry? Your witness is a lie because you're not ordained. What denomination are you a part of? He said, I'm not of your system. I'm of the Father. And that's what he says there, isn't it? And he says, you don't know him, so you don't know me. I know him. He sent me. You can't recognize me because you don't know him. And when you're really of God, how many of those people can really recognize that? The woman at the well, one day when we talk about it, the woman at the well said, I perceive you are a prophet. You don't have to talk to people very long before they know God's in you. But they couldn't recognize that. There stood Jesus right in their very eyeballs, face to face with them, and they say, who are you? Who ordained you? Who gives you witness to do these things? Whose ministry are you under? What denomination are you in? And he says, I'm not of you, because you're beneath, you're from beneath, I'm from above, you're of this world, I am not of this world. Now, I've said all of that to get to that particular verse, and I want you to see it, because the thing I want you going out of here today with this in your heart and this in your spirit is when Jesus said world, when he says the Greek word cosmos, when he says I'm not of this cosmos, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the bad out there or the bad in here? Now, let's find out. We've always been taught that the world was out there somewhere. That the world was bad out there. That, you know, that was the Roman Empire. That was President Clinton. That was the Senate. That was the Democrats. I don't think you're going to see that. In John chapter 8, verse 23. And he said to them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Now these were very religious people. These were tithe payers, folks. These were guys that prayed long prayers. These were guys that could quote scripture. These were preachers. And he says, you're from beneath. I'm from above. You are of this cosmos. I'm not of your system. And you're going to die in your sins. Bible toting. Scripture quoting. Jehovah believing. Jews. Very religious. Very sincere. Willing to kill somebody for what they believe. Fight you in a minute over their doctrine. Can't prove it, but they'll fight you for it. Jesus says, I am not of your system. I'm from another system. I'm from another world. I'm from above. As I prayed several weeks back in the woods, the Lord began to open this to me. He told me, He says, Delbert, He says, if you take what I'm teaching you and try to build your church from it, I'll be gone. But if you'll take what I'll show you and enlighten people, I'll keep speaking how to evangelize to you. What I heard this week was one of the greatest evangelistic fields in the whole earth is the church. Jesus had no problem in going to other ministries and telling their people to follow Him. Did He? Now, Jesus, I'm not going to do that. I don't want you to do that. Let Jesus do that. Where did John's disciples was following Him? What do you want? Well, we just want to know who you are. Well, come follow me. Walks by, walks around and into all these Pharisees' churches, these synagogues. Says, unless you believe in me, unless you follow me, you're going to die in your sins. This guy had something I hadn't got yet. Do you hear? He does. I mean, he's got something that the people would say, he's right. And, you know, I'm wanting this. I'm wanting the Lord to change me. So that when I preach and when I teach, that people aren't hearing me, they're hearing Him. That there's a brashness and a forwardness and a shaking that will happen and that says, I'm not hearing this from your systems. I was raised in the Assemblies of God. I just want to be real honest with you because this is a part of the testimony that we'll be giving to people when we minister to people at the Women at the Well. There are thousands and thousands of women at the wells. There are thousands and thousands of Nicodemuses out there. And you're going to be talking to them all the time. One thing that they must see in your life is something that they desire to drink. Give me this to drink, she said. When he finally developed a relationship with this person where he became not a Jew, but a sir, when she respected him, and she says, give me to drink of this drink. There must be something in our life that people desires and wants before we'll be able to bring them into the kingdom. Am I you with me? For example, when I felt the Lord dealing with my heart, I'll share this story and then we're done. When I felt the Lord dealing with my heart years ago, I knew that I was going to do what you do. You know, I just do what people did, and I knew I was going to do it. But I was going to be very picky about who did it to me. You know what I'm saying? Because I was a supervisor in a church. I was a supervisor in a cotton mill. And the people that said they were Christians were some of the laziest people I had. The people that said they were Christians would steal. The people that said they were Christians were always laying out on me. And then they wanted to lead me. I didn't want that. Their cars were junkers, their kids were in rebellions, and their homes were flops. You drive by their yards, and their grass was this high. I didn't want that. They didn't have what I wanted. I was going to be very, very picky of who I drank of. And Jesus was at this woman at the well, and she says, give me to drink. And I think that we need to be picky on who we listen to. I think we need to be very picky on who we drink of. And so I had four or five. I had one guy. He was another supervisor, another part of the mill. One day he called me on the telephone and says, hey, will you come down to my office? Because I had been asking him some questions about the Lord. And he called me. And so he wanted to take me down the Roman road. Well, I let him get me to the inn. But I knew this guy. I did not want what he had. And if that was it, I didn't want it. So I kept waiting and I kept allowing the Lord to deal with me until finally I found somebody who had something that I want. It's Pastor Buehrer. And I drank of him. I allowed him to do that to me, to bring me into the kingdom, to lead me into the sinner's prayer. I wanted to drink of what he had. He had something that was real. He had something that was life-changing. His life was unique. His life was a light. His life was something I liked to be around. His life was something I could do, you know? But these other guys, I didn't want to drink of them. And so I let him do that to me. And what we've got to come to the conclusion of is that we have got to have an example. We're going to be a light. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. We've got to be something that people want. And they do not want religion. If religion was going to do it, if churches was going to do it, this whole city would be turned upside down. There is one. And they're starting nearly every day now. I remember years ago, I said, well, where are they going to go? Well, buddy, they can go. There's a bunch of places now. Here a church, there a church, everywhere a church, church. And so what we've got to understand is that what's going to bring people in is when there's something they can drink of and they want it. Don't go witnessing to a bill collector that you're behind 3 months on your mortgage. It won't work. They're not going to drink of it. Am I right? Don't go witnessing to your supervisor when you've laid out 2 days without calling him. Don't go witnessing to somebody in their house with your kids running around destroying it and won't mind you. They're not going to be listening to what you're saying. They're going to be looking at your kids trying to keep them from destroying their house. And Jesus said, I'll give you water. You'll never thirst again. Something that will change your life. Something that you're really thirsty for. Amen. And what Jesus did in Acts, and here is this lion, this merciful guy who took this woman and forgave her, showed her that I'm not interested in your past. I'm interested in your future. Just don't do this anymore. Get right with the Lord. Can turn and become this attacking lion to this Pharisaical system. And what I'm trying to birth in us and birth in you is evangelism, because I'm wanting the Lord to birth that in me. And you've got to come to the conclusion, as I do, that people, just because they say they believe, don't necessarily know Him. You've got to know Him. And so what the Lord is showing us over these weeks, as I've talked about the Pharisees, is that this beautiful lion can become a raging, raging, raging animal. And he attacks Phariseeism. He attacks those that are coming against and taking people to hell. And you and I have got to be able to do that. You and I have got to become secure in what we want to do so that we'll know what we're after. How many of you have witnessed to somebody, talked to somebody this week about Jesus? Good. That's we're improving. We're improving. It needs to become a must in our life. The must of John chapter 4 is that we have that must in our life. That today I must speak to somebody about Jesus. And you will, as long as that desire is in you, then we're going to see lives change. And we're going to see. Now listen, it's not to come here. Understand. Please develop the relationship. If the person wants to come here, that's wonderful. But you don't proselyte and tell people this is the only place to go to. Okay? You can worship anywhere. Let me do that one and then we'll done. Look at John chapter 4, because I really want you to see this. I really feel like the Lord spoke this to me this morning. Jesus had this long discourse with this woman in the third chapter of fourth chapter of John. And in the third chapter of John, he just talked to Nicodemus. And that was also a long discourse. One's a Pharisee, and one's a person who believes in God, but is so confused that she just really doesn't know what she believes. She's so messed up in her belief and what she thinks she believes that she really doesn't know what she believes. And so she finally comes to the place that she decides that Jesus is a prophet or is a man of God. And this is what I want you to see, and then we're done. The woman saith unto him, verse 19, The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not. What? Most people really don't know what they're worshiping. You worship what you know not what. We know what we worship. We worship out of knowledge. Jews do. Jews worship out of knowledge. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Let me give you that for today's itinerary. So you'll know how that relates to you today. You're ministering to somebody, and they know you go to the church at Lafayette. Okay? And they go to another church someplace down the road. And they say, well, you know, my granddaddy was a Baptist. And my grandmama and grandma, they went to this church. And my mom and my daddy went to this church. And they're Baptist. And now you go over there to that church, and they say you do this, and you say you do that. Now, it doesn't have to be Baptist. It could be Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Methodist. It just doesn't matter. There's an et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera we could run out here. The purpose is they're worshiping at a mountain, and you're worshiping at this mountain. Which one's right? That's the question. And that's the question you're going to over and over again. Jesus answers it. He says, Woman, listen to me. Can you see Him doing some things? Woman, listen to me. The hour comes, and now is, when they that worship must worship. They do what? They must worship. How? In spirit and in truth. Now, what does that say? It doesn't matter what church you go to as far as worship goes. Hear me. Hear me. It matters what church you go to. It doesn't matter where you worship. You can worship Him on a mountain. You can worship Him in the woods. You can worship Him in your car. You can worship Him in your shower. You can worship Him eating supper. You can worship Him watching television. You can worship Him anywhere. The hour comes, and now is, when worship isn't singing out of a hymnal or singing off an overhead. What worship is out of your spirit and lined up with the truth. What worship must be is something in you. It's something you are and not something you do. It's something that you breathe. It's something that you breathe in and something that you breathe out. It's the Greek word pheuma, spirit there. They worship Him in spirit, pheuma. It's the same word that's for breath. It's your breath. It's your life. When you're worshiping God, it's what you are. It's not what you do. And when you worship Him, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It matters what church you go to, but it doesn't matter where you worship Him at. You don't have to come here to worship Him. Right? You come here to fellowship with the body that God has attached you to. You come here to be ministered to learn of the things of God, to minister to others. You come here as a functioning body. Without you here, it doesn't function right. And we've got to understand the principles that God says to us. And you worship Him in truth. You worship Him in spirit, it's what you are, and you worship Him in truth. Now, there's a lot of deception in the world. Ask those, well, you can't. One day you can. Maybe, no, you won't. David Koresh guys. Were they worshiping? Did they believe in God? Did they believe in Jesus? Did they believe Him in the Spirit? Were they breathing this thing? Was it enough that they would die for it? But was it in truth? See, you got to understand the truth. They were deceived. They totally believed in what they were doing so much that they would give their very lives for it. Jim Jones bunch, same thing. But there was no truth there. It was something that they were. It was something that they did. It was something that they would die for. But it was not the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth won't put you in bondage. It'll make you free. And what we've got to understand is Jesus says this, if you believe in me as the Scripture has said, then out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Not as I say, Not as the Baptist doctrine says, or the Assemblies of God doctrine says, or as that doctrine says, or as this. What the Bible says. What does the Bible say? That's how we worship Him. How does it say to praise God? Well, then that's how we praise Him. How does it say to give? Well, then that's how we'll give. How does it say to pray? Well, then that's how we'll pray. Amen? Fuck with all this stuff. Let's attack it like a lion and run it out of here. Amen? They that worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what He's looking for. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. Now, we're done. We are. We're done. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, You are wonderful. I love You, Jesus. You're cool. You're a wonderful Lord.